We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning. My sister in Christ, Monica Lovell, is over there running the iPad. And our guest for this morning is Jason Mung. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you, ladies?
Doing great. It's good to see
you. Yeah, you too.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. Or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Drew's Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling out of Corn, Oklahoma, a company that cares. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
You bet. Father, we just thank you for this day. Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, God, that is within the teacher and those that would hear today, Father. And I thank you that through this message today, Father, that this would build the body of Christ, that it would bring unity. Father, I just thank you that if there's things that we don't understand, that, Father, we would seek your heart even deeper, God, to know you. And, Father, that I thank you for what you're doing in the body of Christ today, Father. I thank you that you're bringing us to oneness and to walk in unity like we've never seen before. And, Father, we agree with that. We say yes. And we thank you for what you're going to do today. I ask that you would bless the words as they go forth, Father, that they would find those people that you are seeking out to hear the things that you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Your title is intriguing, Profession Over Questions.
Yes. So God gave me a word just a couple of weeks ago about trusting in him, and I just kind of went and started studying and what trust brings to God. And then I actually heard another teacher this last week reminded me of the story of the Shunammite woman. So I got back in there, and I started digging in that in Kings, and I started checking out the Shunammite woman again. And God just really highlighted some things for me there that I thought, man, that it kind of goes right along with trusting God. And but it's about our trust in God and what we say about God. They must agree with one another. Because sometimes we'll say, oh, yeah, I believe God. I believe his word, this, that, and the other. But then our words do not match that. And that's one of the things that I've been talking about over the last few months, that God is just, even in my own life, you know, specifically working on me. And, you know, I always tease people. I said, you guys don't realize all these things that I'm teaching, it's because God's working on the inside of who I am. He's showing me those things in my life and bringing truth forth to me, so I get to share that to the rest of the body, right? Mm-hmm. So when we get into these things, it's not that I've achieved or I've arrived, but rather God is showing me and adjusting some things in my life. And this is one of the things that he's been hitting home to me about, is about our words and about our trust in God and allowing the truth of God's word to then become my words, right? Because oftentimes we'll say one thing, you know, and the word talks about this. It's a split tongue, right? Mm-hmm. It's this double mouth that we speak mm-hmm. out of, and we can't do that. And I think more than ever, God is waking it up. And, you know, I think about the words of Jesus himself. What did he say? He said, I don't say anything that my Father doesn't say. And it's like, you know, that's been my prayer. And even going through, I've been studying the Old Testament a lot, and I ran across a scripture the other day that says that he tied his tongue to the roof of his mouth. And I was like, that has become my prayer. Father, tie my tongue to the roof of my mouth so that I do not speak anything that is not from you, right? I want to be accountable. And I even see into the word that we are accountable for those things that we speak. And I want to take ownership of that, you know, and allow the Holy Spirit his way through my mouth, Obviously through our lives as Christians, but our mouth is so important because even that, you know, we can live in one way, but then we say other things and like, that's contradictory. It's confusing. Mm-hmm. Not only to the world who doesn't know him, but even into the body itself, it brings confusion, where you see people living one way and then see them talking another way. And it's like, what's the reality here? You know, the reality is we need to get focused. We need to find Christ as our solid foundation. So I'm going to get into 2 Kings and 4 today. So I'm going to read. I'm just probably going to read most of this because there's just some stuff I want to pull out of here. And then we're actually going to start in verse 8 here in 2 Kings and 4. It says, one day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, when he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. She said to her husband, I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he will have a place to stay whenever he comes by. One day Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went to the upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak with her. When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, tell her, we appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army? No, she replied, my family takes good care of me. Later Elisha asked Gehazi, what can we do for her? Gehazi replied, she doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man. Call her back again, Elisha told him. When the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my lord, she cried. O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. Be sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at this time the following year she had a son, just as Elisha had said. One day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father, who was working with the harvesters. Suddenly, he cried out, my head hurts, my head hurts. His father said to the one of the servants, carry him to his mother. So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, he died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, send one of the servants and a donkey so that I can hurry to the man of God and come right back. Why go today, he asked. It's neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath, but she said it will be all right. She saddled the donkey and said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to. As she approached the man of God on Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, look, the woman of Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child? Yes, the woman told Gehazi, everything is fine. But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Gehazi began to push her away, but the man of God said, leave her alone. She is deeply troubled, but the Lord has not told me what it is. Then she said, did I ask you for a son, Lord? And didn't I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Then Elisha said to Gehazi, get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face. But the boy's mother said, as surely as the Lord lives and you yourself live, I won't go home unless you go with me. So Elisha returned with her. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face, but nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, the child is dead. When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in alone and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. He lay down on the child's body, placing his mouth on the child's mouth, his eyes on the child's eyes, and his hands on the child's hands. And as he stretched out on him, the child began to grow warm again. Elisha got up, walked back and forth across the room once, and then he stretched himself on the child again. This time, the boy sneezed 7 times and opened his eyes. Then Elisha summoned Gehazi, called the child's mother, he said. And when she came in, Elisha said, here, take your son. She fell at his feet and bowed before him, overwhelmed with gratitude. Then she took her son in her arms and carried him downstairs. So I've known this story, right? Mm-hmm. But man, I'm telling you, when that got brought to my remembrance again, and you know, even as I always tell people, when you hear a message from a teacher or a pastor or apostle or any of the fivefold gifts, when somebody brings you a message, do not just take that at what the value they bring, right? Always get back in there and go read that yourself, because God is speaking and he has something to show you there too. And there's a revelation. A lot of times when a teacher comes, we can bring an understanding. But revelation can only come from God. And we have to get in there. We have to start mining, I would say, those things out of the Word of God for ourselves to find those revelations that God has for us. And again, this word was brought by another teacher or actually a prophet in my life this week. And I thought, I need to get in there and I need to dig into this. And even as I was reading this again, God was showing me some things here. So this is exciting. I love this. So we're going to kind of break this down. And my title comes from this morning in here is Profession Over Questions, right? So as we kind of work through the story again, we're going to go back. So we see that the woman here had recognized that this man was holy to God, right? And she recognized that. And so in seeing that, she wanted to provide for him. And so we even see that she actually took a room of their home, furnished that completely out so that any time that he was traveling and in that area, that he would be able to come there and stay. So as we go on, let's see verse 11 here. He says, "We appreciate your concern for us. What can we do for you?" So he sees what she is doing for his life, and he wants to do something in return, right? And I just see that as the picture of the body of Christ. Like, you know, one part cannot say to the other, "I don't need you." And even in the place that she was set up as a wealthy family, as we see. So God had given and blessed her family. So she was going to give out of her surplus to bless this man of God. But even though the man of God was taking full advantage of this, he did not want to take advantage of that. He wanted to give back. And so he's asking, what can we do? And I love the discernment that I even see here. And he asked his servant, because it didn't say that he asked her. He did ask her a specific question, but she's like, you know, we're good. Our family's taken care of. But Gehazi walked in discernment and said, she doesn't have a son. We've seen this. And then he points out her husband is an old man. So, of course, when we see that, the natural picture of that is obviously there may be some issue just because of age that they're not able to have children anymore. And so Elisha, knowing who God is, right, is going to say, well, we want to bless this family. Because it's, even when you look into the culture at this time, a son and any children, you know, the word talks about that. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. I'm one of those guys. I got five of them. So I'm highly blessed, right? But especially the sons, right? Because that's the generation. That's the family name being passed down. And that was something that was something to be looked on. And that a father's heart always went to the son in pride in that way. And they didn't have that. She didn't have a son. So Elisha actually prophesied to her, right? Next time, this is verse 16, next year at this time, you will be holding a son. And she said, "No, my Lord," he cried, "O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that." So I want to talk about this and kind of break this down. What do we see in this place? So first of all, she said, "Don't deceive me and get my hopes up." So we see in this place where there's a question, right? There's a question in this place when he speaks to her through prophetic word that God is going to bring you a son. That's basically what he was saying in that place. God is going to bring you a son. And she said, "Oh, don't get my hopes up." Those are the questions. And I'm not saying that we don't have questions when God brings a word to us. I'm not saying it's wrong to have questions. But as we continue on, I want to break down why is profession over the questions the most important thing? Because when God speaks a word, when we come into agreement with that, it's literally what brings that to pass, mm-hmm. right? And I think about what Psalm 74, verse 18, I believe, in one translation, it actually says that because of what the children of Israel were doing, they actually limited God. So literally because of the faith or lack of thereof that they did not have, it actually limited the way that God could work in that situation. Mm-hmm. And that's why when God gives us a word, whether it's through his word, right, as we're reading, or if he sends our prophet or somebody with a prophetic word into our life, be careful of the first words that come from your mouth, right? And even in when we look at the word, the first fruits, God talks about that often. I want you to recognize that when you speak, the first thing that you say over a situation is literally the first fruits of that situation, right? So we need to be so accountable in that to know that when a word is brought forth or when we see a truth of the gospel or any situation presents itself for us, make sure that the first fruits that we sow in that, our profession agrees with the truth of the word of God. Right? Mm-hmm. Not that there will not be questions, because sometimes there are, and we see that in her life right here. There was a question at first. Oh, wait, don't get my hopes up here. You know, don't promise something that can't be fulfilled. But Elisha wouldn't have said anything that he knew that God wasn't going to do, right? And that's where we have to trust in God. And I'm going to get into some of that in just a little bit as we continue on through this story. So verse 17, but sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. One day when her child was older, he went out to was working with his father and the harvesters, and he screamed out, his head hurts, right? And of course, as we go on through the story, we see that basically the boy dies. And what does the woman do in that place? So this is where I really want to get into this, breaking those down, profession over the questions. Because we see she had a question in the beginning. She carried him up. She laid him on the man of God's bed. She sent a message to her husband. Send one of the servants. Give me a donkey so I can hurry to the man of God. And again, questions. Why go today, right? The husband starts asking a question. And I love her answer. And this is the first fruit. This is the profession that comes forth in the situation and the circumstance that she is going through. He said, it's neither a new moon nor festival, but she said, it will be all right. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? She just laid her dead son on a bed. But what is the first fruit? What is her profession? And what I love about this, the question that she asked in the beginning, like, don't get my hopes up, right? There was a question. She's seen that the word of God was brought forth, and that created something in her. It established a faith in her in that moment. Because why? Because she had the son. Mm-hmm. So she knew that when the man of God spoke that thing and God fulfilled that word and she's seen that come to pass, guess what? Faith, trust in God was then established. So what did we see from her as we move through the story? We see her profession change. So when she see her son die, she did not run to question. She walked in profession. And that is why we have to see through this passage the first fruit of our profession. I don't care what your circumstance, I don't care what your situation. And if I was looking at this one, it can't get any worse than this. This is death. This is the loss of life, right? In human terms, that's the end. Like, there's nothing else. So to see this come from this story, man, just brought, wow, this is awesome. So what does she say? It will be all right. And I want us to consider that in those situations as we're going through our life, because sometimes something will come up and you'll run into people, and we're fixing to see that. So she saddled the donkey. She said to the servant, hurry, don't slow down unless I tell you to. As she approached the man of God on the Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. Of course, he sends out Gehazi, right? He sees when the woman is coming, and he asks, is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child? What does the woman respond? Yes. Yes. Because her response is from a place of faith and trust in God, not the circumstance and what is going on. And how many times do we see in our lives where something happens and somebody says, is everything all right? And we go, bleh, right? We just, no, it's not all right. Oh, my goodness. And we just start pouring all this out. And I want you to recognize, if you have not up until this point, that is the first fruits of what is going to happen in that situation. Literally, at that moment, you have time. And this is where I know people, this is the hard part for us, because that is contrary to the way that we think. That's contrary to the way that we speak. That's contrary to what we call normal, right? Well, I want to remind you of the word of God. You're not normal.
Right.
You are a peculiar people, right? And even when you see what Christ did for us, making us holy, when you go back and you look at what that word holy means, the simplicity of that word just means uncommon, right? We want to walk in the what do we call normal? That means common, right? God called us to be holy, which is what? Uncommon. So should our speech look different than everybody else's? Absolutely. And from our speech, then what? Our lives will look completely different, right? And you know what I love about that? I see God's design in this. He does that on purpose because it catches attention. When people are weird, you look at them, right? Like, it draws attention because, like, there's something weird about that guy or that girl. Absolutely. You know, there is something. But in reality, what we learn to see in the body of Christ and as we walk in relationship with him is this is actually the normal. That's all the weird stuff, right? But I love that God has draws attention to himself, rather, through his body, right? Because we look different. As the word says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't look like it, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do we do that? We get into the word of God. And this story, I love this here. Like, this is a great place to go and sit and dig in and see what God has to show you here in this place to, even in the midst of life and circumstance that is just chaotic and crazy, even to the point of death, do not let circumstance change the profession of the truth of who you know God is in your life and what he can bring. Because had this woman come in that moment and said, is everything all right? No, my son just died, right? Our son is dead. Guess what? The first fruits of that would have been sown in the situation. And who knows how that would have turned out, right? Death and life are in the power of our tongues. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy 30 says, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life. And choosing life is not just from this place of, oh, I'm going to go in and I'm going to pray about this and I'm going to say this really eloquent prayer and all this thing. Choosing life is the first fruits of the things that I profess from my mouth in the situation, right? That position of my heart must already be established before that circumstance ever shows up, right? And that's why it's so important for us to get into the Word of God. And like I said, that scripture that I quoted, transform our mind. Do not allow the world to fashion the way that we think because of things that we see, feel, touch, taste, or hear, right? Mm-hmm. But rather allow the Word of God to fashion something inside of us that from the abundance of our heart, the mouth would literally speak. And it's like, man, God is, I hear this message going on all around. Like, God is speaking about our words. I hear multiple pastors and teachers speaking about our words. And I love that they come from different perspectives. And you know, that's what I love about the parables when you go into the New Testament. Like, Jesus tells parables. And it's because some will understand the way he's saying this, but others won't. And now I see as God has multiplied himself out through the fivefold ministry, people just say it a little bit different. Why? Because people hear it a little bit different. You know, and it's like I may bring this a little bit different than some other guy, but some of you will pick up the way that I'm laying it down. But some of you are gonna catch it better from the other guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like a techie talking to a fisherman. You know, it's just kind of like, what? Mm-hmm. What'd you just say? But you know, God sends the fisherman out to teach the fisherman, and God sends the techie guys to talk to the techie guys. Why? Because it's the same Holy Spirit that has the message to bring, but we just have this, you know, unique verbiage and the characteristics that God has given us of diversity of people, of who we are in the body of Christ. And again, I always want to remind people, even in our diversity, the body of Christ, we're one. There's not one part. The techie has to have the fisherman too, you know, because the techie needs to fix the fisherman's fish finder. and the techie needs the fisher guy to go catch you some fish so he can eat, right? So I just love how God creates diversity, and we need one another in that. So I love this. The woman told Gehazi again. So again, this is the second time through this story that her profession stayed above the questions, right? Her husband asked, is everything okay? Yes, it's okay. And then Gehazi runs out as they see her coming. Is everything okay? Yes. But then as she approaches the man of God, as we see her approach Elijah, then he asked in verse 20, or then she said in verse 28, did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And did I say, don't deceive me and get my hopes up? Questions, right? But again, I want you to understand this, that in this place, this is not a wavering faith. This is only a reminding of where she was, but you see her profession has now changed. Her faith has now grown in God because he established the son that he said he would bring, right? And she wasn't, and this is what, the way I see this in this place right here is, she's only speaking to the man of God. The first one, it was her husband. The first one, it was the servant, right? Gehazi. But she is going back to the source. Yeah. And that is so important. Because even in our lives, maybe something that comes up between me and Monica, I don't need to go and talk to Tina about it, right? Because what happens in that place is then all this stuff, and I'm actually going to even sow seed into your life where you can begin to profess things over this situation that are not proper. Mm-hmm. And I'm about to hit some toes right here. I want you to understand this. So, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but yet again, as I got into this, I was like, man, this is so important. Social media platforms, right? When we get onto those things, we will even ask our heart. I'm not saying that our intentions are wrong, but we will get on there and say, this is my prayer request, and I'm asking that you do this, and this is the situation, and we lay it all out. Do you understand? You just created an environment. You are allowing other people to sow into your field. We need to pay attention to that, because it's not that there are not those out there that will bring forth the word of God. They will pray over that situation, and they will ask God to move in faith on your behalf. But how many out there will sow tear into that field and say, oh my gosh, did you hear about so-and-so? Right. They are this, they're that, and they're the other. We have to watch that. We have to be so careful. And I know, like, if we gather to the intention of the heart, right, then, Jason, you're going off in left field. Like, that's crazy talk. It's not crazy talk. You are allowing people to sow with their words into that situation when, as we see in this place, we should just keep quiet, right? And he even tells him, as we go on through that story, Elisha in 29, get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. And what does he say? Don't talk to anyone along the way. That is so important. Because what if somebody went on the load, would have run across Gehazi, and he would have said, hey, where are you going? Why are you in such a hurry? Well, the Shunammite woman's boy's dead. He would have just sowed a seed into death. Yet again, I set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life. We must choose life, even in our speech, and even not allow other people to sow into that situation. But sometimes when we go to that situation, we want to share with everybody. Guess what? You're opening that up for other people to sow into that situation. Mm-hmm. And if they are not speaking life, then they are bringing tares. And that is such a thing that we need to stop doing, you know, and I know that's like, some people are just like, that's crazy, that's way out there, that's way off. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit was so clear to me in this. And like, I've seen that so many times on Facebook, because we live in small town America, right? One post on Facebook, I don't care if you only have 12 friends, right? One post on Facebook, so-and-so has, and I'm not even going to give it glory, the C word, right? Before you know it, 200 people are saying, oh, did you hear? So-and-so has, oh, man. But yet our profession is, but I'm believing God that he's going to come in and he's going to intervene in this situation. If you're believing God, then keep quiet and pray over that situation. And if you have those that you know around you will speak nothing but life into that, then bring them in so that we can walk in agreement, as we see according to the word, where two or more are gathered in his name, touching and agreeing on anything. Then he will answer those prayers and bring those things. And again, those places where a three-chord strand is tough, it's strong, right? I'm not saying that that's not to be shared with those who will agree with the truth of what you have to say. But we have to be careful and not allow anybody else to sow into that situation with their words, because, unfortunately, there is a body of Christ that is walking in immaturity in the things of the truth of the gospel. And so we have to be careful. And even by doing this, we can teach them and show them something different, you know? Those conversations that we have about situations, like, we need to just kind of let those stop and die off. You know, I think about, I'm going to do a teaching on this too at some point. When we go back and we look at the book of Job, again, one of those situations where he just, it's life, right? Mm-hmm. It's life happening. And you see the friends show up, and what do they begin to do? Mm-hmm. They start speaking things that are not life for the situation. But what I love is, in Job's reply, it doesn't go to the friends. It goes to God. he goes and speaks to God. And even in those some of those places, if your friend is bringing something, sometimes the conversation does not even need to be had to try to get those things right. It just needs to go to God. And that's where we see in Matthew 6, what does he say? He says, go into your closet and shut the door. Shut the door, shut everybody else out, and come before your Father and make your petition and your request known, right? And then as you pray from a spirit of truth and faith in him, then God will answer that prayer of faith that is lifted up. But if you're not careful, you're allowing those other people to have, and not only sow seed, but have influence. Mm-hmm. Because in that place, if anybody else would have told her, your son's dead, and kept reminding her, your son's dead, it would have shifted her mindset if she was not established, right? I mean, how many times have you been in a situation where you go in, you're actually going in to kind of share and bolster somebody else, and they come back with all the crud, and then before it's over, you find yourself questioning, and you're like, oh, I was feeling pretty good about this before I started talking. And then all of a sudden now it's like, I'm starting to have some doubts. Yeah, that's why we see instruction of the word that we need to don't do some of that stuff, right? Let our words be minimal, but let our heart remain pure before God and make sure that the words that we do speak are life and nothing but that, in agreement with the truth of God's word. Let's continue on.
Do we have time for a break? Is this a good place for a break?
That's it. Yeah, let's do it.
30 minutes flies by.
Oh, it did, man.